Hello and welcome to another My Tunes podcast, right here at manxradio.com.
Mark Tiley, the nation's station, Manx Radio.
This week on My Tunes, I could start in Bradford. I could start in Glenvine, but I thought I might start back in South Africa, or maybe on a ship. Please welcome to My Tunes, we've got him at last, David North. David, welcome.
Good morning. Good morning.
It's lovely to have you on here, and thank you for coming back into Manx Radio. Of course, you were the chairman for many years.
Yes, from 2003 to 2015. Yes.
Kept us all in order, pretty much.
And as they, yeah, well, that was difficult.
But you rose to it. Now, I did say Bradford, Glenvine, and I did say South Africa.
They all rang a bell.
Well, yes, because, as we heard earlier, music, well, not only a huge part of your life, but you actually recorded some music in South Africa.
Yes,
which we
played. Yes. I used to sing on Lorenzo Marx Radio and Byra Radio, and I used to do one in Aden for the British services overseas. Because I had my guitar with me, and of course I used to do a lot of singing. But my guitar has always been with me. I went to see, I went to see first when I was 12 on the steam packet boats, but I went to see deep sea. I went when I was 16 as a cadet, junior navigating officer, and I took my guitar with me. And of course it was always in great demand for parties out on the hatch. This was on a cargo ship, tramp steamer, travelling all the way out to India and round South Africa and the Indian Ocean, and a great time.
And also on cruises at some stage.
And then I moved, when I was 18, I moved from all part of British and Commonwealth shipping. I decided that the deck side was not what I wanted for the future. I decided, I went into the Marine Superintendent's office in London, and I said, I'd like to change over from the deck to purser catering. Oh, you'd think I was asking them to commit Harry Carey. It was absolutely appalling. And anyway, they said, go home and think about it, you see. So I did, and I said, yes, I'd like to. So I had to do 6 months in London in the cash department, came down and stayed there in the youth hostel, and that was a great time. And then I went away as a purser's clerk with guitar, of course, and then got singing on board the ship. We were in a storm trying to go into Cape Town Harbour one day, and the managing director of Decca Records was on board. And the captain rang me, this was about 9:30 in the morning, and he said, North, he said, could you get your guitar out and go up to the cocktail bar and try and cheer the passengers up a bit? Yes, sir. So I immediately went up there, and this managing director from Decca was on board, Ted Baker. Not the Ted Baker, but Ted Baker. Yes. And long story, I ended up with a 2-year recording contract with Decca. This was in late 63, early 64. And I used to go into the studios, and in AKA Studios in Cape Town, this was, and do a few jingles. And then I recorded this, The Wishing Well, and it was released as a 45 in South Africa. It was written by a chap in Laxey called Smith, Alan Smith, who was very, very good. They played it, and Bill Prince on SABC was playing it frequently, and it sold a few, and I think I got about 2 shillings in royalties, something like that.
But what an experience.
What an experience. Well, the studio, AKA Studio, those days, the managing director was Colin Campbell, and he was the director in the studio, but he also played piano. And there was Bob Hill on the bass, Cecil Ricker on the drums, and Jerry Bosman on the guitar. And they were studio session people. What an experience. And then I recorded quite a few more Jim Reeves stuff, and Dolly with the Dimpled Knees, and things like that, which he recorded when he was in South Africa. But then when I came ashore, I moved when we got married. Julia and I got married in 64 in July. And we went straight out to Sarnley Pass Hotel up in the Drakensberg Mountains for a 2-year contract. And, of course, it was 1,000 miles away from AKA Studios, and the whole thing fell apart, really. It was impossible.
Tomorrow morning, dear listener, you will hear the whole of that track just mentioned, because we've had a little dip. We've dipped our toes in earlier, but you're going to have the whole thing tomorrow. Let's have your first choice of music from other people. Who's it going to be?
My early days here, when I learned to play the guitar, I was in the skiffle era. I was one of the skiffle chappies, you know. And we used to perform all over in St. George's Hall and around skiffle concerts. Jim Mitchell's concert party, Travel the Island with skiffle. There was Bernie May and the Sinners. I had my own for a while called the Isotopes. But then, of course, I was working in the summer on the steam packet boats, which I say I started when I was 12. With newspapers for 1954, 55 and 56. In fact, I did the last trip from Fleetwood on the Viking, coal burner. I get them sometimes mixed up. It's either the Victoria. And 54, yep, and I did the trip to Fleetwood and back, and that was the last one. I did the maiden voyage on the Manxman in 1955 as a paper boy. And then when I was 16, I actually signed on. When I was 15, I was allowed to sign on, and I was a waiter in the third-class dining saloon. And that was an experience, terrific, and wonderful experience working for three summers. And then the last summer I worked on the steam pack, it was 1958. Fantastic experience.
And this first track takes you right back.
And this track takes me back to the skiffle era. Chas McDevitt, I mean, there are dozens and dozens of songs, and I still sing them. But this one, Freight Train with Chas McDermott and Nancy Whiskey, it was one of my favourites.
Freight train, going so fast. Freight train, going so fast. I don't know what train he's on. Won't you tell me where he's gone? Don't know where he's heading for, what he's done against the law. Got no future, got no hope, just nothing but the road. Freight train, going so fast. Freight train, going so fast. I don't know what train he's on. Won't you tell me where he's gone? He lost his reason, lost his life. He killed his friend in mortal strife. He must keep moving like the rolling skies, just a-waiting till he dies. Freight train, going so fast. Freight train, going so fast. I don't know what train he's on. Won't you tell me where he's gone? Bury him, please, way down the end of Old Chestnut Street. Poplars at his head and feet, and tell him he's gone to sleep. Freight train, going so fast. Freight train, going so fast. I don't know what train he's on. Won't you tell me where he's gone?
My guest this week on My Tunes is a musician. He's been a very well-known politician on the Isle of Man, businessman and on-board entertainer and ships all over the world. David North, thank you for coming on My Tunes.
Good to be here.
And we were in South Africa, which I guess really, because things sort of opened up with the music and you had an opportunity, you ended up staying there, but you stayed for quite a long time.
when we finished the 2 years at the hotel, a two-year contract, my wife and I decided that we really wanted to move from the hotel industry because we wanted to start a family, and it was get on, stay on, and relieve yourself for meals in the hotel business. So we decided, and I was just talking to a chap, one of our guests, one morning, and he said, "Oh, we've really enjoyed ourselves." He said, "We're going to come back next year, my wife and I." Terrific. And I said, "Yeah, lovely." I said, "But we won't be here." I said, "I'm leaving at the end of August." And he said, and we were talking, you see, a little bit. And he said, "Come and work for me." See, so anyway, he was the managing director of Chrysler in South Africa, in Cape Town. And I duly went and down there, and I was the communications and internal affairs officer, with CIA, which he got from the Chrysler organization chart. I had no idea what I was going to do. And he said, "Right. First morning, I was working, direct line manager was the director of public relations, a chap called Peter Bickersteth, wonderful character, magnificent. And we got on like a house on fire. But the managing director, he said, "I want you to produce, invent, and write a company newspaper." So I did. And I called it Pentastar, which was the emblem of the sign. Yeah. And I had to go and do journalism at Cape Town University in the evening, night school. It was sort of letterpress, produced once a month, and I've still got several copies of it. And I really enjoyed that and got stuck in, and it was produced once a month. And I used to go around the factory doing stories about all the shop floor and everything else. Terrific. And then they moved me 1,000 miles to Pretoria because they decided to build a big new plant up there. And it was the time when Chrysler was just starting. This is pre-Iacocca. And I was meeting all the senior vice presidents, and in fact, I looked after them when they came to South Africa. And you wouldn't believe some of the senior vice president in Chrysler from Detroit, and taking them to a game park with his wife. You wouldn't believe how shaky somebody like that could be at 6 o'clock in the morning without a cup of coffee.
Oh, yes. Yes.
And I had to look after them, and went up to Tosha Pan with them and cooked for them in Southwest Africa, or Namibia now.
When you were out there, was the Isle of Man always on your mind? Did you know you were coming back?
Yes, yes.
You weren't going to stay away?
No, we didn't actually at that stage. But the Isle of Man was always, because I was a member of the Transvaal Manx Society. Because from Chrysler, 2 years later, suddenly saw this job, assistant public relations officer to one of the big mining finance houses. And to cut a long story short, I got the job. Mm. And I was assistant to nobody because they'd never had one.
That's great.
But I tell this story because, and it's all related. I actually did this at Julia's funeral when I did the eulogy. I mentioned this because it was how important she was. And I went for an interview. There were 80 applicants, and there were three of us narrowed down for interviewing, you see. And I was the third one in. And I went in, and the chap behind the desk, big oak-panelled office in Johannesburg, And he said, "Morning, David. How's Julia?" You see, and he and his wife had stayed with us at Sarnie Pass Hotel, and I got the job.
Wonderful, yeah,
amazing. And I at Johannesburg Consolidated, I was there for 5 years, and unbelievable experience because I learnt about we were involved with platinum mining mainly and gold and coal, but we were also the large major shareholder in Toyota South Africa. We'd been the founders of South African breweries and Argus Printing, and going back years, decades. It would have been about 130 years old now. But what a wonderful tradition, and it was a fantastic experience.
We're going to wait until tomorrow to get you back to the Isle of Man, but let's have today's track, please, sir.
The Ballad of the Teenage Queen, Johnny Cash. Now, when I was working on the steam packet, I used to carry my guitar with me. And I learnt this song. I used to sing most of Johnny Cash's numbers in those days. And then I learnt this number. And if we were going to Fleetwood, I used to take the guitar with me. And I used to catch the tram when I'd knocked off in the evening, and we'd be coming back, sailing back the next morning. I used to take the guitar up to Blackpool on the tram and sing in some of the talent shows up there. I also used to sing it in Douglas at the Villa Marina in the gardens, if I happened to be in town, you know, in port. And I used to get second, third, first, but it was... The Ballad of the Teenage Queen has a lovely story to it. And, of course, everybody listened. And I actually won a competition in Streatham in London a couple of years later with Jeff Hudson's quartet. And I came second. And they asked me back to come and sing every week at the Streatham Locarno. Amazing. While I was working in London for 6 months. Terrific. But anyway, back to the Ballad of the Teenage Queen. It was Johnny Cash, and he's one of my favourites.
Dream on, dream on, teenage queen, prettiest girl we've ever seen.
There's a story in our town of the prettiest girl around. Golden hair and eyes of blue, how those eyes could flash at you.
How those eyes could flash at you.
Boys hung around her by the score, but she loved the boy next door. Who worked at the candy store.
Dream on, dream on, teenage queen, prettiest girl we've ever seen.
She was tops and all they said, it never once went to her head. She had everything it seemed, not a care this teenage queen.
Not a care this teenage queen.
Other boys could offer more, but she loved the boy next door. Who worked at the candy store.
Dream on, dream on, teenage queen,
would marry her next spring, save his money, bought a ring. Then one day a movie scout came to town to take her out.
Came to town to take her out.
Hollywood could offer more, so she left the boy next door, working at the candy store.
Dream on, teenage queen, see you on the movie screen.
Very soon she was a star, pretty house and shining cars. Swimming pool and a fence around, but she missed her old hometown.
But she missed her old hometown.
All the world was at her door, all except the boy next door, who worked at the candy store.
Dream on, teenage queen, saddest girl we've ever seen.
Then one day the teenage star sold her house and all her cars, gave up all her wealth and fame, left it all and caught a train.
Left it all and caught a train.
Do I have to tell you more? She came back to the boy next door, who worked at the candy store.
Now the story has some more. You'll hear it all at the candy store.
This week on My Tunes, we have been navigating the globe on various ships. We have parked ourselves in South Africa for a few years, but you are now going to return to the Isle of Man with my guest, David North. David, thank you.
Good morning.
Lovely, lovely stories of South Africa. But eventually, we got you back here. And I've got a list of various things. A Nobles Hospital Administration Committee, a Medical Practices Committee, a Financial Times Isle of Man correspondent.
Yes.
The list is as long as your arm. We'd be here all day if we went through them all. But... You got into politics and various elements, and then you stuck at it.
Yes, I got a phone call one night. There was going to be an election for LegCo, and I got a phone call from a certain politician, in fact, from two, who said, and I was running with Julia, House and Home in Onchan Precinct, you know, a thriving business, a lot of good, wonderful, wonderful staff. And we had a great time. But suddenly I had to decide, and I think this was a Sunday night rank, and the election was on the Tuesday morning in Keys for somebody for LegCo. Anyway, Brian Barton had been a member of the Keys for about 18 months, and I think he wanted out. And they said, if we vote for Brian Barton, will you stand, you see, in this by-election? So I said, I'll have to think about that. Anyway, we thought about it and discussed it and decided to go for it. And 6 weeks later, I was elected as the member for Middle. That was in 1988. In 1989, I was I went to the airport first and the Department of Education as a member, just to learn what it was all about, really. And then I was there was a shuffle. And Miles Walker, who was a terrific chief minister, he had everybody in the Keys, and to ask them who they didn't want. He didn't ask them who they wanted. They asked him who they didn't want. And anyway, there was a reshuffle. I won't go into the details, so that gets a bit personal.
Okay.
anyway, I was appointed Minister of Agriculture, Fisheries and Forestry, which I did for about 18 months. And then in the 91, I think it was, the election, I was appointed Minister of Transport, which was then still the Department of Highways, Ports and Properties. So we handled all the government buildings and everything, and that was very interesting, including it was transport to the nth degree, because we looked after sewage and drainage as well. And don't get me started on the Irish scheme, which should have been completed 20 years ago, and they're still trying to finish what they hope they're trying to do, but there doesn't seem to be much movement on it. Shall I?
Well chosen word there, sir. Yeah.
And then in 96, I took over the shipping register as part of Department of Transport for 5 years. And we got the shipping industry going on the Isle of Man, and we put a lot of hard work into it. And terrific, the Marine Administration on the island, we set out for quality rather than quantity and achieved it. Brilliant. In fact, the shipping was going so well that in 1996, I think it was, they moved the shipping register, the Marine Administration, from the Department of Transport to the Department of Trade and Industries, which is really where it should have been. And I moved as minister to the Department of to keep the shipping industry flowing, you see. But that also introduced me to the film industry, because Alan Bell had had the idea of a film industry, but nothing had really got started. And so Steve Christian, who was working for the department, and I cannot overemphasize what an amazing man he was for the Isle of Man. I worked with him for 5 years there, and I just can't overestimate, I should say, what he did for the Isle of Man. Unfortunately, he died, but anyway, so we got on with the film industry then.
Do you think the film industry era, because it was a particular era when it was really full on, should have been longer, should have been built on more, or was it always something that had time wrapped around it?
No, it didn't have time wrapped around it. And in fact, people don't understand about the film industry, unfortunately, because it's been twisted by a lot of misinformation. The fact of the matter is that film industry cash in to the Isle of Man. The first way we went for it was on revenue, because the Isle of Man got all the VAT from every film we made. And we brought in, with the yachts that were part of the register, we brought in well over, I think it was about £360 million. £360 million.
Over and what time scale would that
over
have been?
About 4 years.
4 years.
Four,
mm.
5 years. 5 years. Maybe 5 years, yes, 5 years. The plan then, because the UK changed the formula, chopped us off at the knees, so to speak, we had to change it, and I was retired by then, but they changed it from a revenue to an investment. Now, an investment in film is a 10-year process, and the Treasury established, quite rightly, a fund for them to, I suppose, play with to a certain extent and get the experience. Now, that fund was attacked mercilessly by certain people who shall remain nameless. I think the public know who they are.
Okay.
And it was denigrated so that everybody, you know, thought the film industry was a disaster. It could have been one of our real strengths, as has been demonstrated elsewhere now. The track we were on here was absolutely right. Now, it was taken over by the film studio, and it was handed over there because the story was that I got, somebody wanted Steve Christian to go and work for them because he became a film finance expert. And he was a real asset to the Isle of Man, tremendous asset. And he was denigrated by just two politicians, basically. And I was fuming that this, you know, I'd retired by then. He had planned, and they were going to run it from the studios, and that happened. Now, if they just left that as it was, but unfortunately the studios were sold off, and the Isle of Man made a lot of money out of that, many millions, in fact. But that sale, the original involvement with with the studio, with the film studios, was Steve Christian's idea, because they needed him.
Let us take the third track out of your personal jukebox, David. What are we going to have?
We're going to have Down in the Caribbean. Now, this brings back just a few memories. Julia and I, when we were at sea together, every voyage out and every voyage back, we had a Buccaneers ball. And Julia used to dress up as a female buccaneer running the tote and things like this. And we had this wonderful, in the tourist class, and we both worked in the first class, but we were allowed down in the tourist class for the Buccaneers ball. And I used to sing this song quite a bit, and it's been covered by all sorts of people like Jim Reeves and Willie Nelson and Hank Snow. But one of the best versions is Chaz and Dave, and it's a terrific number.
I reckon it's time my old mate sang a song, don't you?
Do you really? Right, Odin, that's a good one, Charlie. That's a good request.
Boy.
I'm going to turn the clock back now and play a song which we used to play in public houses. We don't play in pubs no more. We just have a drink in them now and again. I learned this off my sister in 1957, I think.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, here we go. Come on, clap your hands. Oh, have you ever been down Tahiti when that old summer sun is sinking low? There's nothing but romance, it's everywhere you glance, and the native hearts, oh, they go. But when the Cuban queen comes upon the scene, they stare like a statue made of stone. And when they realize what before their eyes, all them girls are left all alone. Down in the Caribbean, it's not a dream to see when you get a glimpse of a lady with a charm. But for miles away, you can see her sway to the beat of the keep of conga line of form. Up in a tree so high, way up in the sky, there sits a wide-eyed monkey on a limb. And he wonders why the people go to so much trouble just to try and look like him. He don't understand that it's a lady's hand that makes her heart feel so sublime. And before too long, he gets to sing this song, and he gets in the conga line. Down in the Caribbean, it's not a dream you're seeing when you get a glimpse of a lady with a charm. And for miles away, you can see her sway to the beat of the keep of conga line. Let it go, let it go. Says part of that old Caribbean. He didn't see no charms and he opened arms. It was a gold he was a seeing. Oh, but I'm glad he missed the sweetest thing of this. Cause now I'm on our old honeymoon. I'm so sorry, Chris, to talk about you like this. You were 500 years too soon. Down in the Caribbean, it's got a dream to see when you get a glimpse of a lady with a charm. Half a miles away, you can see her sway to the beat of the keep of conga line of song. To the beat of the keep of conga line of form. To the beat of the keep of conga line of form. That's it now.
Oh, thank you, thank you, thank you. Lovely old job. Well done, David. Excellent, then, mate.
My guest this week on My Tunes has literally been all over the world and has had so many different strands to his career, his life. We're barely scratching the surface. Yesterday, we talked an awful lot about your time in politics here. And David North, I want to ask you, how difficult is it stepping away from politics? It's all right getting in, it's terribly exciting, but how difficult is it to stand back when you go?
Well, for me, I was determined to retire at 60, and I almost made it. I was just over 60, I think, and because I think some of our politicians stay on too long. Now, some very good refuse to go up into LegCo and they retire, but I think some of them go on too long, and I was determined not to. In fact, I've said to a couple of my friends, I've said, you know, because they asked me, and said, I get this, aren't you going to stand? You know, and I just, my standard reply is, I thought you were a friend of mine. And when I actually retired, I've said to a few of them in the last few years, when they asked me, am I not getting in bored or anything? And I say, no, there aren't enough hours in the day, which there aren't. And I say to them, if I'd stayed, I'd have been dead by now. Because the health-wise, the strain and the stress. Now, some people have got very, very thick skin. I couldn't possibly mention any names.
No.
As a politician. But I don't have a thick skin, but I do have a very high tolerance level. And you need that. Some have got it and some haven't, and some have got the thick skins and some haven't. And there are every type of politician. And
so no regrets about...
no regrets, yeah, at all.
I ask it, really, because, funnily enough, it was Tony Blair in an interview I was listening to only a few weeks ago. Love him or hate him, he said something very interesting. He said, the funny thing is, when you get elected, voted in, particularly to be Prime Minister, he said, you know virtually nothing, but you're at your most popular. And when you leave, you know a lot more, but you're least popular you've ever been. Yes. The scales are quite bonkers. It must be like that here, because you get to know various departments, you've been experiencing this and that, your knowledge base grows and grows and grows, and then you're no longer in it.
Well, I still came to Manx Radio.
I
was asked to join the board here. But I've been, in fact, I only retired at the beginning of, or the end of last year. I was chairman of the Salvation Army Advisory Council on the Isle of Man for, and I did 41 years there and retired at the end of last year. Founded Moran Parish Community Care in Crosby, and I'm still very much involved with that, although succession planning. I'm in my 80th year now, and I think it's time to retire from that. So we're doing very good succession planning.
You may retire from one thing. Something else will pop up, David. Yeah, I know you too well. It won't stop.
Life is for living.
Busy.
I've lost my best friend, and that was very sad. 56 years we were married. And I'm just cracking on.
And she'd want you to do that, absolutely, because it was not just a marriage, it was a huge partnership in everything you've done.
Exactly.
Huge partnership. Manx Radio. Goodness me, you had some interesting ups and downs in this old building with people, with politicians, again, with people who weren't behaving properly inside and outside and all over the place. Dear. Did you, here's a basic question, did you enjoy your tenure as chairman?
Oh, yes. Oh, if I didn't enjoy it, I wouldn't do it.
Good.
No. And I met some wonderful people. Including yourself.
Well, very kind.
I don't want to sound patronising in any shape or form, but there was a wonderful team here, grossly underestimated, I have to say, by, again, people who had access to grind, you know, and it's just, it's very sad, really, because the Manx Radio, in my opinion, is a national asset that we should be very, very proud of. And in fact, you are now using what, you know, I used to, as you know, used to talk about technology and people used to look with a blank and the jaws dropped because they didn't know what the hell I was talking about. But you know, you have got into all this technology now, and Manx Radio's opportunity to promote the Isle of Man on the internet is massive. Absolutely massive, and you're doing a wonderful job.
Well, thank you for that. Unsolicited praise is always welcome. The thing about you, sir, you've been involved with the Steam Packet, you've been in government, you've worked a lot with health. Do you think that in a place like the Isle of Man, the basics, the radio, the ferry, the food, the this, and the health, it always gets a bit of a kicking because all of us in those services get taken for granted?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Now then, don't get me started. Oh, dear. How many hours have you got? No, I mean, I've always said to meeting new residents coming to the Isle of Man, the first thing I normally say to them, I said, just remember one thing. It is a national pastime to complain.
Yeah.
And once you understand that, if you've brought up here, which I was, I mean, I had a wonderful time on the Isle of Man when I was before I even went to high school. You know, at primary school, we used to have My father was a great pianist, and Mona Douglas and Baron Giovanelli, who was his consort or whatever, used to come round to the house once or twice a month at least, and they would spend all of Sunday or Saturday afternoon making music and composing. And Mona was, Mona taught me the Dirk dance. And that's another, I had a wonderful time. I went all over to, I danced for the governor at the Villa Marina, the Dirk dance solo with a wonderful lady called Joan Owen, who sang unaccompanied the Dirk dance. And I went to Dalgetley for the festival there and danced with her. BBC filmed it all, it'll still be on file. You know, David North doing the Dirk dance. I took over from Stephen Newbolt, and they're still doing it. I love to see them on Tynwald Day doing the Dirk dance, and I actually sang at the in Cruniacht in Manx, won the first prize there in Ramsey when it was in the Mart, and won the first prize for singing solo unaccompanied in Manx. Wonderful days.
Let's have the final track. I'm very sad it's come to an end. It's been a brilliant week, David. And, well, it looks like we're going back on board for this one, I think.
Harry Belafonte and Land of the Sea and Sun. And it's one of his wonderful ballads. I used to sing this to Julia. And Julia, even at sea, before we got married... And when we came and got married and came home and settled back in the Isle of Man, if I wanted some songs, the words of it, this is before you could just press a button on the internet and get up the words immediately. She would, of course, could do shorthand. I used to put the record on and she used to take it down in shorthand and then try and decipher it all and then put it back and type it out for me, and or write it out longhand, in fact, not even typing it longhand, because I've still got some of those songs, and one of them is Land of the Sea and Sun with Harry Belafonte, and it's a wonderful ballad, and it's good memories.
David, thank you so much for joining us this week. It's been absolutely marvellous. Thank you.
Many nights I sit here with memories by the score, thinking of the days I spent with the girl I still adore. So I'm going back to see her before my days are done. Going back to see her in the of the sea and sun. Once I had a notion about this Beijing girl. I put my thoughts in motion and found my heart in a whirl. So I'm going back to see her before my days are done. Going back to see her in the land of the sea and sun. Ever since I left her, nothing's been the same. Think I'll pull up anchor, yes, going back and give her my name. Going back to see her before my days are done. Going back to see her in the land of the sea and sun. Yes, I'm going back. to see her before my days are done. Going back to see her in the land of the sea and sun.
Thank you, David North, for being my MyTunes guest this week on Mark Tiley in the Morning. And don't forget, there are new podcasts popping up every single day here. So keep coming back to manxradio.com, because you never quite know what you might find.